You know, throughout history, most cultures have placed great reverence and almost worship-like status on individuals that displayed some sort of superhuman characteristic. Now, there are voluminous amounts of these examples of people and beings given this status from all sorts of cultures. Fu Shi, ever heard of him? A cultural hero in Chinese mythology who created hunting, fishing, and cooking. I could get behind that mythological person. Hercules. He's a Roman mythological hero. We've all heard of him. Thor and Loki of Norse mythology. And part of the Marvel Universe, no big deal. King Arthur, an English hero of myth. Johnny Appleseed, American history. Like, really? Johnny Appleseed? That was on the list. We don't have great, you know, these big mythological heroes maybe in some of our lore, but a lot of those names we've heard of, they're popular in our culture because they point to individuals that had these great powers, these ideals that we try to sometimes emulate. And while the vast majority of these people are all mythological, or they've given kind of a mythological story based upon, maybe they were real people, but they were given different traits, there is that common tendency to idolize those very specific traits, whether it's strength or the ability to hunt, fish, and cook. You know, I've seen most, if not all, of the superhero movies that are out there, including Green Lantern, Catwoman, and the Fantastic Four, which are the bottom of all of those movies. But I feel it's my duty to watch all to make sure I know all the superheroes. You know, our recent culture, since Superman, since some of these early stories came out, have been full of examples of men and women who had those kind of traits. Either noble or nefarious, these superheroes embodied powers that many of us desire to have. And much of the time, unfortunately, in the U.S. ones, it involved wearing tights and capes. You know, we desire to be better than we currently are. The world is no different than us as Christians. We are desiring to be better than we are. The world, I think that's just a common human trait, to be better than we currently are. But unfortunately, humanity has sought after that without the guidance of God, making all of these mythological heroes, most of which I listed in the beginning, to be false gods and to be meaningless. More so, they are an abomination to God. To begin with, Deuteronomy 12. You get kind of the idea of what these people, and a lot of them were considered gods by some cultures, but what they are considered or who they're considered by God. Deuteronomy 12, beginning of verse 29. When the Lord your God cuts off from before you the nations which you go to dispossess, and you displace them and dwell in their land, take heed to yourself that you are not ensnared to follow them after they are destroyed from before you, and that you do not inquire after their gods, saying, how did these nations serve their gods? I also will do likewise. You shall not worship the Lord your God in that way, for every abomination to the Lord which he hates, they have done to their gods, for they burn even their sons and daughters in the fire to their gods. Whatever I command you, be careful to observe it, and you shall not add to it nor take away from it. You know, if we desire to be better than we currently are, to be superhumans, then we must observe and we must heed the commands of God. You know, being careful not to change these basic principles that we have been given. Most of Christianity has changed those principles to fit their own ideals of what power is. That should not be the case for us. You know, we have so much to take from the examples in the Bible that we should limit ourselves to the stories and the myths that man has concocted as a way to find strength, as a way to find some meaning in our lives, or use them as the basis for our aspirations, for what we strive to be. You know, each of us has an ability today at this feast to use a superpower. But do we have the faith to try? As we heard earlier, do we have the trust to try? Like any good hero, their story begins with an origin story, followed by a short montage of them learning to use those powers. Usually it's learning to fly, which they can never seem to do. Then it's finding their nemesis. Heroes need to have a nemesis. And then they become the hero that the world needs. Thankfully, God isn't requiring of us to wear tights or capes. We won't judge, but please, we can become superheroes and use our superpowers without those. Let's begin by setting a baseline for how we can gain these powers. 2 Timothy 1. Second Timothy 1 and beginning in verse 6. Therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You know, spiritual gifts belong to God and God alone. He chooses who he wants his work to go forward with, how he wants us to be used. And he uses us based upon our faithfulness. We know there are many powers available to us to choose from, as we can see in the Bible. You know, the world is open to us. Once we have God's Spirit and we have the faith behind it, we can do anything. So let's look at some of the possibilities of what we can accomplish by being servants of God. We can command inanimate objects to become real. Exodus 7. Beginning in verse 8. Exodus 7 and beginning in verse 8. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, when Pharaoh speaks to you, saying, show a miracle for yourselves, then you shall say to Aaron, take your rod and cast it before Pharaoh and let it become a serpent. So Moses and Aaron went in to Pharaoh, and they did so, just as the Lord commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. But Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers, so the magicians of Egypt, they also did in like manner with their enchantments. For every man threw down his rod, and they became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up the rods, and Pharaoh's heart grew hard, and he did not heed them, as the Lord had said. What's key here is in verse 10, as the Lord commanded. They showed that power because they were doing what God commanded of them. We can display, I'm sure you know of this individual, in Judges 15. Look at a couple examples of him. Superhuman strength. Judges 15, beginning of verse 14. When he came to Leah, the Philistines came shouting against him. Then the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, which I'm speaking about Samson, of course, and the ropes that were on his arms became like flax, that is, burned with fire, and his bonds broke loose from his hands. He found a fresh jawbone of a donkey, reached out his hand and took it, and killed 1,000 men with it. 1,000 men killed with a bone from a donkey. But you realize what happened before that. It was something supernatural. God was working to loose those bounds. God worked to make this happen. In Judges 16, verse 28, again a display of Samson's great power, his great strength. Then in verse 28, then Samson called to the Lord, saying, O Lord God, remember me, I pray, strengthen me, I pray, just this once, O God, that I may with one blow take vengeance on the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars which supported the temple, and he braced himself against them, one on his right and the other on his left. Then Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he pushed with all his might, and the temple fell on the lords and the people who were in it. So the dead that he killed in his death were more than he had killed in his life. Samson cried out to the Lord, asking for this. This was something God allowed for him. This great superhuman strength was given to him because of God. We can control the elements. 2 Kings, verse 1. Second Kings 1 and beginning of verse 10. So Elijah answered and said to the captain of 50, if I am a man of God, then let fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50 men. And fire came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. Then he sent to him another captain of 50 with his 50 men, and he answered and said to him, man of God, thus has the king said, come down quickly. So Elijah answered and said to them, if I am a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50 men. And the fire of God came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. Again, he sent a third captain of 50 with his 50 men. And the third captain of 50 went up and came and fell on his knees before Elijah and pleaded with him and said to him, man of God, please let my life and the life of these 50 servants of yours be precious in your sight. Look, fire has come down from heaven and burned up the first two captains of 50s with their 50s, but let my life now be precious in your sight. Calling down fire from heaven because he was a servant and a prophet of God, not because it was his own strength or power that gave him that ability, but because he was a servant. With these powers, we can also control animals. 2 Kings, verse 2, and verse 23. And this is speaking about Elisha. Then he went up from there to Bethel, and as he was going up the road, some youths came from the city and mocked him and said to him, go up, you bald head, go up, you bald head. So he turned around and looked at them and pronounced a curse on them in the name of the Lord. And two female bears came out of the woods and mauled 42 of the youths. He called out in the name of the Lord. And he was able to cause these beasts to come out against those youth. How about visions of the future? Acts 6. Starting with Acts 6 and verse 8, to see why Stephen could have these visions. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. Skipping down to chapter 7 and verse 55. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God, and said, "Look, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." You know, having those kind of visions, seeing the Spirit that the human eye cannot see, was not something that Stephen did on his own. It was something that was done because of him being a servant of God. And how about breathing out or calling out fire and causing plagues? Which seems like a nefarious, something that an anti-hero would have, but this is something that we have heard about already from the two witnesses. Revelation 11. Because we know when Christ comes back, it's not going to be, as many would assume, as an effeminate hero that's going to bless and bring peace upon this world. He is coming back with fire and brimstone against this world that is in complete opposition of him. Revelation 11, beginning in verse 3. "And I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two lampstands standing before the God of the earth. If anyone wants to harm them, fire proceeds from their mouth and devours their enemies. And if anyone wants to harm them, he must be killed in this manner. These have power to shut heaven so that no rain falls in the days of their prophecy. And they have power over waters to turn them to blood and to strike the earth with all plagues as often as they desire. Why? And I will give power to my two witnesses." They were given power by God for this. Not because they showed up at headquarters throughout the years stating that they were these men. It is God who will decide the time and the place. And when he does, these two individuals are going to strike fear over this entire world. You know, I've only scratched the surface of biblical examples of superhuman feats. Many, many more of God's servants performed mighty wonders, performed mighty works. We could spend a whole day talking about the many, many examples of people who trusted in God and who were able to display power above what we have as normal carnal human beings. What is key with all of those, though, is that spiritual gifts originate with God. You know, all of these feats had one unifying focus and purpose. All servants of God realized one key to their superhuman powers. Psalm 62. Psalm 62 and verse 11. God has spoken once, twice I have heard this, that power belongs to God. We are simply conduits for God's power. It doesn't belong to us. It's not something that we can call for ourselves. It belongs to God, and He doles it out as He finds necessary. And this power only comes to us when it is given by God. Luke 24, verse 49. Luke 24, verse 49. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. That is where power comes from. So why are we given powers? You know, we have been given, and men and women have been given throughout history, gifts from God for a distinct purpose. You know, no superhero inducted into the Justice League or the Avengers did so just so they could cook or fish or do some menial task, figure out how to work the TiVo that nobody understands. All of those super teams had individuals with very specific roles. Teams require full participation from all of their members. God's team of saints, you and I, brethren, are no different. We all have a purpose. We all have some reason that God is giving us power, which He has. He is giving us power. And there is a reason for it. We have to have the faith and the trust to understand and to seek out why. 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12. We'll look at some of these diversities of the Spirit, of some of the powers. 1 Corinthians 12 and beginning in verse 4. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestations of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as it wills, or as God wills. You know, the forefront of all of our actions, or at the forefront, we must have the will of God in our vision. Our gifts must be outward focused, not inward focused, towards ourselves. Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4 and the beginning of verse 11. And He Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to be to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective workings by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. We all are knit together and need to be this great team to use and to be given powers like this. All of these things are for the edification. All the powers that we would be given or are given are for the edification of the church. But we must also be careful not to become that superhero just setting up the TiVo recordings. Complacency has no part in the family of God. Romans 12. Romans 12 and beginning in verse 5. So we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. You know, all of these gifts have to be used, have to be focused outwardly towards the body of Christ. And don't think that any one of us were not imbued with power. Each one of us, once baptized, have the power of God at our disposal. Every one of us. The gifts we receive are dependent on what God needs of us. 1 Peter 4. First Peter 4 and verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Each of us, having received the gift at baptism, must use them. And we must do it to the glory of God. That is the reason that we have these powers. Peter touched on the basis of why we are gifted by God. These gifts and powers are for one reason alone, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. That is the whole purpose of even this family that God is creating, is it to glorify His will, to glorify Him. So are we actively glorifying God in order to be given these powers, to help spread His message? Paul describes our commission in this respect in Acts 1, verse 8. That he quotes Christ, but in verse 8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria to the end of the earth. We are to be witnesses to God's way of life, to what He is trying to do with this world. And in doing so, we will find our power. You know, we are witnesses, whether we like it or not, in everything we do, day in, day out. When we walk down here for breakfast, when we go out to dinner, we are witnesses at this feast to God's way of life. And God isn't giving us power so that we can hide it or use it to benefit ourselves. We have been given power to benefit, to begin with, the body of Christ and to glorify God. And the power, manifesting the examples that we read about earlier, were from servants who were fulfilling God's will. And they displayed extraordinary faith in order to do that. They all displayed faith that we have to look forward to, that we have to look towards and try to emulate. Because we must have that same faith if we wish to find our superpowers, our gifts from God. You know, as I said, we are baptized. It is available to us. We just have to believe. Matthew 17:20. Matthew 17:20. So Jesus said to them, "Because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." Do we have that faith? I can't move mountains. Not many people I know of can move mountains. And yet Christ's own words state that we can move mountains. We can perform those kinds of powers if we have faith, and if it is God's will. That is key. You know, while many were given great powers to fulfill the will of God throughout the Bible, all of these powers are ruled by one great power. And that power has transformed you and I and each of us here today. 1 Corinthians 13. We'll read about this one great power. 1 Corinthians 13, beginning in verse 1. "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have faith so that I could move mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away with. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. And now abide faith, hope, love, these three." And this is the key. "But the greatest of these is love." The greatest superpower that we can have is love. Love rules all other things. We might be able to move mountains, but without love we can do nothing. Verse 2. In order to have power, then, we must first know God. 1 John 4. First John 4 and verse 8. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. This is why the fruits of the Spirit are a telltale sign for anyone professing to be godly. Claiming to know God and not understanding or displaying love determines who you really are. You know, we understand with all of these great things, with even moving mountains with our faith, with all of those great examples of our predecessors, all that they have done, none of that accounts as much as love does. God considers love above all of that as power, as superpowers. You know, using the power of God allows us first to know God. Philippians 2. Philippians 2 and beginning in verse 1. Therefore, if there is any consolation or consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Love. God's power also allows us to sustain our spirit. John 15. John 15 and beginning in verse 11. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for his friends. Why? Why is that the greatest sign of love? It's because our elder brother did the same for us. He laid down his life. He showed true love. He showed the greatest power of all by laying down his life for you and I, for giving us a chance to have a future. That is why love is so powerful. That is why love is the power and is the superpower that we should all strive to display. Those other things are passing. Mountains might not exist. The physical realm might not exist. That doesn't matter in the future. What does exist and what will go forward is godly love. You know, each of us has the ability to use that power of love, a power that we really don't understand until we have God's Spirit. It takes God's Spirit to understand what true love is. The world doesn't understand it. And that power, as I said, far exceeds any other physical manifestation of God's Spirit. But with this understanding, with this ability that we have, this superpower that we can tap into, there are some requirements. To begin with, we have to change. Ephesians 4. Beginning of verse 20. Ephesians 4 and verse 20. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off, concerning your former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which is created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. We can't display this love as our carnal self. We have to rise above that to show and to let that superpower in us shine. We can't show this either alone, by ourselves, with our own merits. John 15. John 15, beginning in verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. So this display of love cannot happen unless we are abiding in Christ, unless we are following after his example, not just in the love that he showed us, but also in everything else he did while he was here on earth. We also have to have, as any good superhero, we also have to have a motto, a godly motto to live by. In Philippians 4, Philippians 4 and beginning in verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. If we are living by that motto, then God will be with us. Christ will be there with us. We will be able to display that power of love. And we must separate also from this world. Romans 12. We can't be focused on God and Christ when we are also focused on this world. Romans 12 and verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's the only way that we can attain this power. And like many superheroes, we have to stand up for the weak. Romans 15. Beginning in verse 1. We then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. And this talks about our necessity to build up the body of Christ, to work with one another, to show that love for one another, to help all of us strive for that end goal that we're trying to reach. And we must also live by a set of characteristics that help us keep our superhuman strength. Matthew 5. We cannot sustain this power of love if we're not living by some of those requirements and those characteristics. Matthew 5, and beginning in verse 5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger, for they thirst for righteousness, for they should be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And that's a key to what we're going to face when we start displaying these powers. Our nemesis is the world. It is Satan. It is his influence. And if we aren't displaying those characteristics, our powers are going to wane. It's going to be the krypton to our love. We won't be able to overcome it. And we won't reach that kingdom of God if we fail to continue and to grow in the love of his Son and of the Father. So, brethren, do we have what it takes to be superhumans? Do we have what it takes to display superpowers, godly superpowers? Well, answering yes hinges upon our ability to follow after God's will. And we are warned to use these powers for one purpose only, to please God. 1 Peter 5. First Peter 5 and beginning in verse 5. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. You know, the proud fall, the humble excel. We have to resist what it is that Satan is trying to push on us. And what he's trying to push on us is hatred, is everything that is against love. You know, pleasing God means that we're doing more than walking in manner that he has outlined for us. We are constantly trying to be better. We're constantly trying to excel. We aren't satisfied with just simply getting along day after day once we do understand the truth. We have to be rising above that. We have to become, or have the desire to become even greater. 2 John, verse 1. Second John, verse 1, or chapter 1 and verse 4. I rejoice greatly that I have found some of you, your children, walking in truth, as we received commandment from the Father. And now I plead with you, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment to you, but that which we have heard from the beginning, that we love one another. This is love, that we walk according to his commandments, and this is the commandment, that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. Showing love to this world, showing love towards God, is walking in his commandments. And that is why the bulk of this world doesn't understand what true power is. They refuse those commandments, those Old Testament rules and regulations. They put those away and they lose the most fundamental, important aspect of God's plan. They lose love. They can't understand it. You know, we committed ourselves to God, we changed. We were transformed into new creations, not by our own, not by our own power, but through God's Holy Spirit. Romans 12, it's one final scripture this afternoon. Romans 12, and beginning of verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And brethren, we must do God good before God. We must please Him in all that we do, and we must strive to perfect the beings that it is His will to create.